Joining us this morning for a legislative update, they're still hard at it, Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jeff. Great to be with you. Good morning.
Well, good to have you as well. Last week we had a big cutoff. What can you tell us about that? What did that mean?
Well, it meant a lot. So the whole legislative session is built on certain key dates for bills to advance out of their committee, for bills that go to their fiscal committee to clear that committee. And so most of the session was geared towards these earlier cutoff dates. Well, on March 8th, last Wednesday, bills that were originated in the House of Representatives or in the Senate, so we have House bills and Senate bills, they needed to clear their full chamber in order to still be alive in the process. And so we spent a lot of time on the Senate floor. The House of Representatives did as well on the House floor. They went until 2 a.m. on some days to kind of make sure they could clear their bills out of the House. A lot of the bills died in the process, but some bills advanced, and now those Senate bills are over to the House of Representatives for consideration. And they have to go through the committee process over there, because in order for a bill to become law, it has to pass through both chambers and be signed by the governor in order to take effect.
Okay, so that's something that all of you have to deal with as you go through this process. Did you have any bills that became victim of that deadline?
Yeah, I did, actually. I had a bill related to 10th grade Running Start online. I called it a walking start to Running Start. It had a lot of support, but actually the Senate majority leader wasn't a fan of that bill, and so it did not advance. Mm. And sometimes one person who's in the right position, whether they're a leadership position or someone who is a committee chair, can actually block a bill. Mm. And even bills that have support, that can happen. So some of the bills, for example, we knew whether it was on drug possession or the police pursuits. These are two of the bills that actually did clear the Senate, but we knew if some of those bills could actually get to the floor, they would have support to pass, but sometimes those kind of get blocked along the way. So it's an interesting process here.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Now, we did have a couple that did pass. For example, the police pursuit bill.
Yes, so the police pursuit bill was a very interesting one. That is something that a few years ago, the state of Washington, and I voted against it, but the state made a series of police reforms, as they called it, and some of those did not go well once they got implemented. And that's what some of us who voted against it were warning about, warning the citizens and the legislature about. But back in 2021, the standard for police pursuits was a standard in law known as reasonable suspicion. And back in that session in 2021, when all the police reforms were put in place, there was a bill that raised that standard to what's known as probable cause. And that's a much higher standard in law enforcement. And so the effect of that is many law enforcement agencies felt that they did not meet the probable cause standard to engage in certain police pursuits. So, for example, when people were stealing cars and other things, basically they could not pursue, and sometimes that would lead to major issues in other area, other portions of the state, or in some cases of the Chelan County criminal, that person went all the way into Montana, I believe, and caused harm to other sheriff's deputies. So we were trying to get this police pursuits bill back to reasonable suspicion, back to the original 2021 standard. And that was hotly debated. The bill that did pass the Senate did return to the reasonable suspicion standard, but only for certain offenses, violent offenses, sex offenses, vehicular assault and domestic violence, and I believe driving under the influence. We tried to offer some amendments to allow for automotive theft and some of these other things to allow police to pursue, but those amendments were not accepted. But the final bill is better than what we have now. It's not everything that I'd want, but it passed the Senate by a vote of 26 to 23. So it was very close.
Yeah, now let me ask you about that, because I did hear several legislators, some say, hey, I'm not voting for that. It's watered down. I'm standing on my principle that we need to take this back to where it belongs. And then others who said, hey, you know what? Anything is better than what we currently have. I'm going to go ahead and vote for it. How do you weigh that out before you cast that vote?
Yeah, it's a good question. So basically, I don't disagree with my colleagues who voted no. I would love to return the law back to the original standard before the 2021 police reforms were put in place. But that's not really the decision in front of us, because to me, a vote no is, yeah, you stand on your principles, but you could end up with nothing. You could end up with basically nothing approved in law this session. And so we basically have the same thing we have right now, which is terrible. So the way I look at it, kind of, Jeff, is like when you go into the optometrist, they slide those lenses, those glass lenses in front of you when you get fitted for your glasses, and they ask, is this better or worse, right? Better or worse? And you're like, well, that's better. Oh, that's worse. So I take kind of the current law that's in place, not some standard that I would hope to be, but what is the current law in place? And what is the bill that's before us for a vote? Mm-hmm. And I ask myself, is this bill better or worse than the current law? Mm-hmm. And if it's better, then I tend to want to vote yes, because obviously it's better than what we have. So it's kind of like sometimes you're in the optometrist and you can't quite tell if it's better or worse, but sometimes it is clearly better. In this case, it is clearly better. It's just not everything. It's not everything I want. Mm. And so one of my colleagues, just like you said, I'm voting for this because anything is better than what we have now. Or as I like to say it, something is better than nothing. Mm. And so I voted yes. And it'll be interesting because we had Democratic members voting no, and we had Republican members voting no. But then you had Democratic members voting yes and Republican members voting yes. And we were all kind of voting yes and no for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Some of the Democratic members thought it went too far. Some of the Republican members thought it wasn't strong enough. And so I think that's when you do find true compromise. And then the bill's still alive, so it'll be interesting to see if the Washington State House of Representatives waters it down more or beefs it up. That sort of thing.
All right. Now, along those same lines, the drug possession legislation, where is that at?
Yeah. And so kind of similar dynamics as the police pursuits. This is Senate Bill 5536. The state of Washington, I think as we've talked about, back in 2021, there was a state Supreme Court decision known as the Blake decision related to drug possession that state Supreme Court decision struck down Washington's felony drug possession law. A woman had drugs in her possession in her jeans pocket. And then when the police discovered that, she said, well, I'm borrowing these jeans from my friend. I didn't know I was in possession of the drugs. So the Supreme Court struck this down in 2021, the same year that the original police reforms were all put in place. So we were in the middle of the legislative session, and we needed to make some sort of short-term fix to the drug possession. So at the time in 2021, the state legislature approved a temporary drug possession law, but that law sunsets and expires this July of 2023. So we really needed to come together to figure out what is going to be the long-term law that's going to be in place for drug possession. And so and a lot of my colleagues have different opinions on this on both sides of the aisle. So it's kind of similar to this. Some of my colleagues say that drug possession is an individual health care issue. And I don't necessarily disagree, but I do think we need some options in our criminal justice system if people are not getting the help that they need. They may need to serve jail time, obviously, so they can get clean and not be a threat to others. So basically the bill that approved the Senate, and this bill for drug possession approved the Senate by a vote of 28 to 21. So it wasn't quite as close as the 26 to 23 on vehicle pursuits, but it was pretty close. And for a 28 to 21 vote, you had Democrats and Republicans both voting no, and Democrats and Republicans both voting yes. I voted yes, mm-hmm. This because I feel like what the Senate approved with Senate Bill 5536 struck the right balance between having a helping hand of compassion and a heavier hand of accountability. But basically, the bill that was approved to the House allows certain options for what we call pretrial diversion. So if people have a recommended drug treatment or they're willing to go into, you know, get the help that they need and hopefully get clean, then they have the option to defer their prosecution. But then if they don't meet those steps, then the prosecutors can advance them for certain progressive jail time. And again, some people felt it wasn't strong enough. Mm-hmm. Some people felt like we should return it to what it was before the state Supreme Court issued their decision. But the state Supreme Court issued their decision for a reason, and now we have to come up with something different.
Mm-hmm. 7:56 now at KOZI. If you're just joining us, we're making a community connection and getting a legislative update with State Senator Brad Hawkins. Let me ask, we did have a proposal out there as well to lower the breath alcohol level from 0.08 to 0.05. Where did we end up with that?
That's interesting because that bill, much like many of the others, did not survive the cutoff. That was a Senate bill sponsored by my colleague, Senator John Lubbock, to reduce the blood alcohol concentration for DUIs from 0.08 to 0.05. I was a supporter of that bill because I do believe people just under 0.08 can still be impaired. And there was, I believe there was a lot of support for that. But that was an example of a bill that had a lot of support that would have passed, but either didn't make it due to the timing of it all or would have been subject to substantial debate. There wasn't maybe a guarantee that the House of Representatives would move it through the process. So, and then the Hospitality Association of Washington objected to that and other groups. So it did not advance.
All right. Well, there you go. It's a cornucopia of things some down there.
Yeah, cornucopia. That's a great word. Some live and some die. And the reality is, Jeff, most of the bills die.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to go all the way through the process. This is just what I'm describing as the Senate process halfway through. But in order for a bill to become law, it has to go through the Senate process, the House process, and get to the governor. And I'd say out of all the bills that are introduced every session, maybe there's 1,000 or 1,200 bills this year. Less than 10% actually make their way all the way through the process. But every bill that's sponsored this session is alive for next session as well, because we get elected to a biennium or a 2-year period. So they're probably technically not dead. They're just put down for this year.
Yeah,
they could be resurrected next year.
There you go. What do we have? Less than a month to go now?
Less than a month to go. We're focused a lot on the three budgets now, uh-huh. The operating budget, the transportation budget, and the capital budget. Despite all the bills and all the things you're hearing about, some of these things are very important to pass, but also arguably the most important things to pass are the three budgets for the next 2 years. And so between now and the end of session in mid to late April, we'll need to make sure we wrap up that process too.
Senator Hawkins, if your constituents would like to make contact with you while you're in session, what's the best way to go?
Please do. The best way is through my website, senatorbradhawkins.org. You can contact me directly, and that contact submission goes to me as well as my staff members. Also, you could check out news releases, my past email newsletters. You could subscribe to my email newsletters, and then also generally just learn more about me. So if you want to learn more about me or if you have any questions at all, please contact us. We our office exists to serve the people who elect us. So please contact us.
Outstanding. We always appreciate you taking time to join us for these community connections. Senator Brad Hawkins, we'll chat next week.
Sounds great, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.